This program is sponsored by Katrina Christensen. You can hear me. You are tuned into FM1 and this is Home and Away. Today I'm going to be talking to Shmaila and Högner Johannesson about their lives here in Faroe Islands. Over the past few years, you've been listening to so many different people with different cultural backgrounds, and that's the interesting part of this show. It's amazing to hear how people of all cultures can come to Faroe Islands, integrate, and to be part of this country and society. This show is designed to be informative and entertaining, and I'm so excited to hearing about today's show. So let's get this going. We'll be right back after this break.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to Home and Away, and here in the studio I have Shmaila and Högna Johannesson, and I would like to welcome you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us. Shall we start off by you telling us a bit about yourself, Shmaila?
My name is Shmaila, like you said, and I'm from Pakistan. Married to Högna Johansson.
Yeah, I'm Högna, and I'm Faroese.
Yes.
Married to Shmaila.
Yeah.
Living in Tórshavn.
Yes, and you guys have two children.
We have two daughters, 20 years old and 15 years old.
Yes. So shall we start off by you telling us, how did you both meet each other?
We met in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Högna was working with...
I worked with churches in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. That was in 99, I think, first time. Mm-hmm. With OM. I came to this church in Shmaila's hometown, the FGA church, and the pastor was going around from house to have these devotions with members of the church, this smaller meeting. So I went along with him one night, and Shmaila was my translator.
Okay.
That's so how I met Shmaila.
That's how he fell for you.
Yeah.
So what attracted you to each other? What attracted you to Shmaila?
Well, Shmaila is very beautiful, you know.
Of course. Yeah, that's
thank you.
That's true.
Okay, I take.
That's true.
Okay. She's quite serious, though. Very, very pretty, you know.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh. I agree. Okay. So the prettiness, you fell for the prettiness, and the, maybe
was,
she did.
That was the first thing.
Just want to know my brains.
Maybe you did a great job in translating.
Yeah, so my brains too.
Yeah, I thought she has the gift here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shmaila, what did you see in him?
Yeah, handsome and really nice. And we worked together a couple of months. Okay. Our pastor could not speak English. So we worked, three of us together, got to know each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say I remember vaguely, like when he met you, and he used to come to the church that we were going to at that time and share the word of God. And so when he was going often to Pakistan, you know, and then when he was coming back to share, share things about Pakistan, people had a suspicion. At that time, he didn't tell, but people had the suspicion, okay, something is going on. Anyway, where did you get married? And tell us a bit about your wedding day. Did you mix both cultures, or how did it go on?
We married in Pakistan, and I think Pakistani culture dominated, but we tried to have some translation and English. The one who spoke at our wedding, that was in English. Högna's family, there were 9 people in the Faroe Islands, so that was really good. Yeah.
There are many, many people at the wedding.
Yeah.
Shmaila's cousins, many cousins.
Yes.
Stella knows
50,
about
57
huge
cousins. Fan. I know many.
Whoa, and do you remember everybody's name?
I know, but I know them. Yes.
So tell us, were you in, was it traditional Pakistanian, or did you do mix
mostly
it together?
I think traditional and then combine with bit of
last for 2-3 days, the wedding.
Yeah.
That's the good part. I always say that I love Christmases in Faroe Islands, but the weddings I love when it's our
Asian
cultures,
yeah,
because it goes on for many days and the food is just
lots of food.
Yes. So anyway, Högna, could you please describe Pakistan through your eyes? I also want to just remind the listeners that Shmaila was one of the very first guests in Home and Away about 8 years ago. So if you are interested in listening to her interview, you're welcome to go to our website and listen to the program there, where she is talking about her life in Pakistan. So I'm just asking right now Högna to describe Pakistan through his eyes.
Yeah, I was there first time in 96. At that time, I hadn't met Shmaila at all. So I was in a mission organization. So at that time, we were living very primitive. We were just thrown into all the situations. So we were around the whole country. It was really wild. Beginning, you had culture shock, of course. But then I loved it.
Yeah.
Full of action. I went to India also after. Of course, we were in these poor areas, so we experienced that part a lot. And we would live like normal Pakistanis who were poor, driving around in a minivan. And so it was a lot of mess, poverty. I experienced that kind of stuff that year. A lot of military, unsafe in many ways. But I think lately you see Pakistan changing a lot.
Yeah.
Just last year, a lot of change. This year, it was amazing. We were supposed to fly back to the Faroe Islands from, you know, Lahore. And there was some miscommunication between the air company and American air company had sold us tickets that for an airplane that did not even exist. It didn't exist. So we had to go to Islamabad, and we saw they have rearranged the whole, or they have
capital city, yeah.
Yeah, they have rebuilt entire airport. It looked more like Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai, yeah.
I thought, wow, this is amazing. There's no military, no weapons, no corruption, nothing.
There's a lot of
so
development.
You see here, there's development going on. That's amazing to see.
Yeah.
Even in Gujarat, where Shamil is from, you know, people are working a lot. Every home has a motorbike, and you know, there's a lot of change there.
Yeah.
Since I was there first time, so I experienced
all the changes, all the changes. And you see the.
But Pakistan is so different. I mean, you find everything, poor areas, middle areas, rich areas. There is everything.
Yeah.
It's difficult to say Pakistan is exactly like this. You know, there are so many varieties.
It is from maybe everything. Different from place to place.
Yeah.
What kind of, if we talk a little bit about the food there, do you have any favorite food that you like there?
Oh, I love the food. In the beginning, dal, I hated dal, you know. You get dal with no meat or, you know.
Lentils.
Yeah. Lentils. Yeah. That was horrific at beginning. and I think after 7-8 months, I began, you know, I went to India. India got some very nice dal that I actually liked. It's very crispy bread, very, very nice. Yeah, slowly I started like dal, you know. Especially same with the sweets. Beginning, horrific, you know. I tried to eat it. So it's all about, you have to just jump into it and continue. So if I say I don't like it, I won't eat it. It's not going to work out. You have to kind of just start off and just continue eating it. And you start liking it. It's like if you come to Faroe Island, you want like
everything.
But you give it a chance again, and slowly you get used to it. So
yeah.
Otherwise, most Pakistani food, I love it. I love it, yeah.
The spices and things. If I can ask Shmaila about the reason, if I don't know if you agree with me, Shmaila, on this, but the reason that maybe Hökne didn't like dal or lentils, it's because, isn't it like this, that when we make food for the Faroese, we want them to mix it together with everything in order to taste the real food, but they try to maybe eat just the lentils, because just the lentils doesn't have any taste.
Yeah, I guess, and he likes meat, just like most Faroese, so yeah.
I think
beans and lentils, it didn't make sense to why we are eating.
Yeah, that's
so for us, it's delicious, you know.
Yeah. That's true. So,
yeah.
And you do cook Pakistani food
yes,
at home?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we all like it, and I make it often. Yeah.
I might have put lots of garlic in there.
Garlic,
lentils,
ginger, so okay. It's nice.
In the beginning, I told them, Pakistan, how do people survive with this thing here? You know?
Yeah.
I'm glad I was born in a meat-eating country at that time.
Yeah, but did you, like, when you went there, did you smell the garlic on people? Could you tell, or
I
were
can't
you just...
remember. No. I remember living in England, we used to visit
like
the
Rastu?
Asian houses and... We used to visit Asian houses in UK. You could really feel the smell of the.
Yeah.
That I thought, wow, why am I not a Pakistani or Indian?
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Of the smell, huh?
That's true. Yeah. I also wanted to ask you before we move on with the other questions. You know, you were on a mission when you went to Pakistan the first time, and as you say, yeah. I can imagine that it has developed a lot, but being, you know, grounded in Islam, did you feel any opposition more than now?
It's difficult. Those days you felt opposition, definitely. We definitely did, yeah. Now, I wouldn't say so, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's more free.
It was interesting because we were in the one church you worked in some years ago. I was preaching, and there's a Pakistani priest, a Maulvi, Mullah. He's sitting in the front, dealing with all the sound system.
Okay.
I thought, what is that, you know? And I talked to him after, and the others. They told me he's happy to come to church and sit there, listen, if he can do the sound.
Wow, that's good.
That was interesting,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't felt any opposition now lately. I wouldn't say that. No. In the beginning, it was, we were in, doing specific work in certain areas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I experienced any
opposition.
Hardship, no.
No, because also when you go into a different culture, you try to respect their boundaries.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there are churches face terrorism, of course, and there are, every Sunday morning, you'll have a lot of police on guard, you know, protecting the Christians every Sunday morning, which is a good thing, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good one. We are going to take a little break now. And when we come back, we would like to talk a bit more about, you know, you are in a blended family, a mixed marriage, and raising children together and living in Faroe Islands. So we are going to talk about, because we have a lot of immigrants and we have a lot of foreigners living in Faroe Islands now, more and more are coming. Mm. So you guys having grounded your life here and, you know, being married for so long and basically living life here, I'm looking forward to talking to you more about your lives here. That was Leona Lewis with Moments Like This, a beautiful song. We are back, guys, and we have a lot more to talk about. I would like to ask you, Shmaila and Högner, what's the biggest challenge in an international marriage and how do you make it work? Of course, the challenges are different from people to people or couple to couple, but what can you tell us about your marriage?
Mm-hmm. Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, I think what I, now we are in my 40s, I am. So when I think beginning, it's like, it may not be always the culture, is the personality and what you're carrying from the past and how you're how you grew up. I think we all carry our baggages. And I think that plays a big role. When we've been married now for 23 years, I think that has been an eye-opener for us for the last 10 years to know, okay, it may not be the big real, a big cause there that we are getting agitated with each other, is how we react, how we perceive it. And that's been very helpful, even though being people of faith, we can be strong in our faith, but still don't know how to deal with matters. That has been a very good turning point for us for the last 10 years. How do we use the word of God practically? And also, I think, respecting each other. But when we understand why I did it, the reason why I'm reacting to this, and that's when we can be polite to each other, respect each other. And main thing on my heart is to see families thriving. And that's what I do it at. But intention is very important. Whenever something upsets you, it's important to take pause, not to react, not the knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. And that's what we are used to. You know, we all are used to how we react. So take a pause and think, okay, why I do it. But that's not like something you can do it suddenly. That's something comes with practice, process, right?
I mean, think before emotions.
That's right, yeah.
Because emotions, they lead to action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Action leads to another situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, and that's been a blessing for our children also. And I think that's the, for us seeing girls, okay, how do we show them what marriage is? That's a good reminder for us all the time that we change. So they can look forward to the beautiful relationships. Yeah.
We are both in the life coaching. So we talk to people who are struggling. Yeah. And we are doing a course right now on marriage counseling.
Yeah. We are attending ourselves.
We have to go through first, you know, before we can teach others. So
if you pass.
Yeah. So it's going to be heavy. But the first time I met this guy who is running it, his company's wife, he said, okay, you can be given, you have to make a list of all the things about your wife you don't like. And here's the funny thing. I thought list. I couldn't really come up with anything. So I had to think very deeply. And I had to go back in time. I thought, if this was 10 years ago, there would be a list, but not anymore.
Yeah, you make a very good point there.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You grow from stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what looks very bad at the moment may not look bad in 5 years. You just have to be okay. You have to just have to grow from it or mature, develop yourself. Huh? So not to give up in a situation where there's a lot of misunderstanding and you're both immature and a lot of new things. There are many things to deal with. Mm-hmm. If you stay strong, you stay committed, you're willing to change, you come to a time when this whole list is gone.
That is
so true.
It's
gone and forgotten. That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I'm sure Shmaila has also heard a list about me again. You know?
No, that's okay.
That'll be the same thing. It's not even a serious list, but it's, you know.
Yeah, little things.
Just the usual things in a marriage. Huh?
Yeah.
You develop.
That's true.
It's
really good advice. Actually, I wanted to tell that we haven't had this kind of advice. You know, most of the time it's like learn the language or learn to integrate and things like this. But this is deep. And the reason why you are talking and giving this advice is because, as you said, you're life coaches. Mm. If I can start with Shmaila, you are a life coach. Do you want to tell us a bit about that and what you do?
Yeah, I'm a nurse as well. First, a qualified nurse. So I work as a supply nurse, but I have studied as a coach a couple of years ago. And I'm combining the nursing, the community nurse knowledge into life coaching. And I love to see families thriving. I get emotional. It's I believe the families are the ones that the main unit that makes society work good. So if we work hard inside our four walls, we can do, we can contribute on a greater level. So I love to combine the community nurse knowledge, the words, the mindset, physical, and faith-wise. So combine it, and to family is where everybody should thrive. There should be forgiveness, redemption. There's always hope. And this is what, so when I have clients within the faith or outside the faith people, it's my joy to see people thriving, to see the connection between parents and children, to see the future and the hope that we can change our generational path and start a new pattern.
That's wonderful to hear. And if people want to come to you for help or advice or for some coaching, how do you do that? Do you, is it a few weeks at a time or a month? Months?
I recommend the 3 months minimum, 3 to 6 months. And it's amazing the how nature has created our brain, that we are meant to create new habits. Just like people get freedom from addiction, porn, or so many years of alcoholism. If it wasn't possible, if we are not created to change our life, people will never be able to gain freedom. In the same way, when we change our habit, thought patterns, families change. Mm-hmm. We change how we think. That means we don't see each other's smaller things. It's not always the cultural difference. It's how we see each other. We start, and life goes so fast that when we look back at what we wasted so many years. So when we sort out everything, what we carry and what's even not necessary, we can enjoy every day. And we can love each other because there is nothing else we see which makes us upset.
That's true. That's wonderful to hear. And Hökne, do you, of course, you are also a life coach, but do you coach people together? As you said, you are going through this marriage counseling so that you can become marriage counselors.
Or we just add some tools to.
Shamaila is the life coach. I'm more into, spiritual or Christian ministry. Shepherding ministry is a bit different. Mm-hmm. Shamaila's one was.
But you using the tools.
I use the tools whenever I can.
And you have always been a leader type. Mm. You have always been out there throwing yourselves. What are you doing now, and where do you see yourself maybe in 10 years' time?
Good question. I'm an elder in a Ferris church, lived in. One of the elders. Then I have Christian ministry along. I travel around the Faroes and a bit abroad also, especially in Asia. And we have a lot of internet activities. We do this Christian life coach course called in Faroese Steven, means pursue, that people can become a part of, the last for a month to 40 days.
Okay.
Which is a one-to-one, which is a everyday step-by-step program. So that's something we're working on right now.
Okay.
So it's becoming a, we're right now making a website. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a list, I don't know, maybe 5-10 Faroese programs on that are life coach type programs. Yeah.
And if people want to reach both of you, where is it best to contact you on?
They can write to me on Facebook, and I have a page as well. I often post, and they can write emails as well.
Yep. And Hökne to you on Facebook as well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. So, that is actually really wonderful. And I can sit and listen for a long time, but we do have, time is ticking. So we are going to take another break. And when we come back, I'd like to ask you about if you mix both cultures in your family and, which language you talk to your children with, and those kind of things.
Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Stand against our King. No one can. No one.
So, do you mix both cultures in your family? And if so, which ones? Like, from the time you got married, came to Faroe Islands, had children, how have you brought them up together so that they get to know both sides of the cultures?
Mm-hmm. We have lived, when we got married, moved to the Faroes, and we were here about 2 years.
One and a half,
and we moved to the UK. And we were there about 9 years. So I think Joy, the oldest, she has a lot of the English culture in her, because her first 7-8 years she went to school and kindergarten, so she remembers a lot and she speaks English, or she spoke English, but for the last 13 years we've been in the Faroes, so she has adopted. I think both of them are quite Faroese. Adonia maybe more because she was born in England, but she was only 1.5 when we moved here, or 2 years. So I think we have moved from English to more Faroese and Pakistani culture.
Yeah.
Joy was just interviewed. She's in Pakistan. Now she will be there. She's with her grandma and aunt. She will be there until November, October. So she was interviewed by a television, Christian television. And yeah, she really said, and I was surprised that without knowing, she said, "Mom has really brought her culture home." So I was pleased to hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Definitely, we mixed the food culture.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
That's
they,
good.
Yeah, but they get Pakistani food every week.
Yeah, and they ask for it.
Yeah. So it's,
but I love the idea. I would love to, and still, even though they are older, I would love them to be enriched with both, with knowing Hogna's family and mine, because that's the best we can give them. Mm. That they know where they come from, who they are, because it can be confusing when you're living in, when you have two parents from different culture and you don't know partly where you come from, that can cause confusion later in their years, maybe not right now. So
it's good for them to know their identity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, identity. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a reason that Joy, your oldest daughter, went to Pakistan?
She's done with student and now she's taking a break. So she has decided to be there to learn the culture and to know the family before she moves on to further studies. And yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. I think
she's enjoying it. I didn't expect, because she didn't grow up there. So she chose herself to be there.
That's so good that she wants to, she wants to bring the culture. Maybe she will just get to know it deeper and she will.
Yeah.
Tell more about it. Why did you choose to live in Faroe Islands? Maybe it's an easy answer anyway, but I'm asking you because, of course, it's maybe in those days it's difficult to raise the children in Pakistan. And at the same time, you were living in England for 9 years. So what made you move back to Faroe Islands?
We didn't plan it.
We didn't plan. I think we felt our kind of time, the work time in England, it was changing, it was taking turn with the ministry wise. Yeah. So question was, where do we go? Pakistan didn't feel safe at the moment. So
there was also health wise.
Yeah.
Adonia had a bad health.
Yeah.
Really bad health, the youngest daughter. And it was difficult to get the help in UK.
Yeah.
So we phoned the hospital here. They thought they would be able to do something about it. So we came also because of health issues.
Yeah, that's true. You have had your difficult times in those days with going through Adonia's bad health. So anyway, you are here, guys, and you are doing well and you have a life grounded here. Do you visit Pakistan often?
Lately, we have been every year.
Okay.
And we are going in summer. We'll be there for a couple of months. Yeah. And helping out,
And Shmaila, can I ask you, because we come from similar backgrounds, you and me, and you are much younger than me, but as I grow, this is just me, as I grow older, and although we have family here and grandchildren here, I am starting to miss, I don't even know, like, what am I, you know, like, I'm starting to miss whatever you call home. How about you? Are you missing, or how are your feelings on this?
First, I'm going to say I'm not so much younger than you. You're not so old. Yeah, it's true, Stella. I do miss. Like now when, you know, also kids' schools are finishing. This youngest one is finishing with her public school. So it gives us a bit more freedom to work, and partly our work is there as well. And yeah, I do feel like more connecting to my roots.
Yes.
I would love to be living there if I could. Yeah.
Me too. We say the same. And more than me, Peter would like to live in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
So, but the reason why I brought this up, it's not because of personal reasons, but this is also very important because people who are coming to Faroe Islands now who are maybe mostly young and they are getting married, of course, you make the decision to move to Faroe Islands. Most of the time, the reason is because it's safe here.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we who have been here before, we grow older and suddenly we are standing there. Children are grown up and we are starting to, our parents are getting older and we want to spend some time with them. Mm-hmm. And then you're standing there. What do we do now? Because you have established a family here, but then your family is back at home also. So I'm sure there are many other people in blended families or mixed marriages who are also going through these thoughts.
So true, I think. And the same reason now, I'm thinking mom needs help. One of my sisters, she's been taking care of her for many years. So now when we go, Hugna will be working full time. I'll help along, but I will also be taking care of my mom. So,
So that is something also that as if Faroese people are listening out there, that's also something that us who come from a different country face that, you know, so at one point we have to take a decision of where to go from here. So, there are different issues.
Combining, I think, will be the good thing.
Good thing. Maybe summer there. No, winter there and summer here, like many people do.
That's the plan,
sure. Why is it? Yeah. I think many people do that.
Yeah.
This winter has been harsh. To end the program with, can I ask you, what advice would you give other couples in mixed marriages? Hugna, maybe
come
you
here.
Could. Who come here, How to keep the fire going.
Oh, that
no, I know. Everything.
Watch romantic movies. Yeah.
Netflix.
No. Give proper advice. Yeah.
Go into your life coach mode.
We mentioned earlier we came to the Faroe Islands lately. Now, when we came with a daughter, was had a bad health and things were really bad. I mean, they were very messed up and confusing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you may feel like that. Everything is messed up. What? How to give? And just realizing that it worked out. I mean, basically, yeah. So when you are in the moment, and that may be the same. You come to the Faroes, you're in a mixed marriage, and suddenly things are not as easy as you may think they were, and you feel like giving up, maybe. Yeah. But you know, just give it time.
Yeah.
Just give it time. That's very important. Of course, in our case, it was bad health and suddenly coming here, the whole life changed. That was a difficult one. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Language.
Language.
Learn vocabulary. Forget the grammar. Can I tell you that?
That's
just learn
true.
Words, lots of words.
That's true, actually. Grammar, I don't know if we'll ever, I can't speak for other people, but that I gave up long time ago. As long as you can understand, then it's fine, isn't it?
Find a conversation group of people who want to talk and make a goal to learn 50 words a week or something like that.
That's true.
That's it, That's a good thing, actually.
Shmuel.
No, that had nothing to do with marriage. That had just to do with settling here. That's a good idea,
Do you have anything to add?
Think it's, like Hugna said, not to give up and learn to navigate, meet some other people, those who have already gone through. And I think it's a different situation for different people.
Yeah.
For us, we were supposed to go back to UK and
finish
Hugna's studies. But often you will feel, okay, when situation comes, your dreams for your life are taking different turn.
Yeah.
It's okay to make new plans.
Of course, yeah.
Definitely.
That's very important,
That's true. And also, Faroe Islands has a way of, like, people, they keep coming back, don't they, to Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
Because it just feels, in so many ways, safe or, you know, opportunities and things like that. Is there anything we have forgotten to talk about? Is there anything you would like to add?
I think, I would add just don't be hard on yourself. It's a new culture, marriage. Everything is new. You're not being married, for some. And having children, learning language, new climate, food and everything. So take one step and enjoy. I think that's
it's a journey.
Yeah.
It's all steps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
Even the hard moments are steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stepping stones.
Yeah.
Stepping stones.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. You have really, really, I mean, I feel like you have actually given a counseling session more than an interview. So thank you so much
for
opening up your hearts and sharing your story with us. And as usual, I don't know if you have been listening to the programs before with the couple.
I have heard.
So. Have you heard?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what's coming up next, maybe. And we don't want to let you go empty-handed since it's a couple series. Katrina Christiansen Restaurant, they have given gift to all the couples.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So here you are. A gift
I did not know.
Oh,
my goodness, Stella.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter and Stella, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Didn't expect this.
It's for Omnusa Lamschirt. Have you tried it?
No.
Okay. I heard about it.
Okay. So you should take some time and go and enjoy the evening. So
thanks
to Katrina Christiansen. And to you who have been listening to this program, hope you enjoyed the show. This program will be replayed tomorrow at 9 a.m. and we'll post the link shortly afterwards. I'll be back next Monday with another couple. Actually, next Monday is the last program of this season, so the last couple for this season. Till then, goodbye and take care.